You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's TicketKing.com.
Let's talk in Pack.
After a brief hiatus, your boy Lemps is back to wrap up this poop sandwich of a Packers season with a big green and gold bow. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here with part one of my 2022 Green Bay Packers season wrap-up. We'll all look back at what we just saw from our beloved green and gold, and perhaps just as importantly, look ahead to what may happen, what could happen, and what I think and hope should happen in the months ahead. That's right, I'm back! I said after the loss to Detroit I'd be back in a week or two. I think I said 2 weeks tops, right? Well, it's been 2 weeks, so here I am. You know, it was good for me to step back, I think. You know, I could digest the season a little better that way. Some bloggers and podcasters, you know, in the Packers universe, I noticed just sort of flung themselves right into the offseason after that loss to the Lions. And, you know, maybe that works for them, but I don't know how you get any sort of perspective that way. You know what I'm saying? Now, by perspective, I don't mean I'm like 100% cool with the season we just sat through or anything like that. No. I mean, of course I'm not. I'm still pretty pissed at a lot of what went down last year with the Packers, and that's a big part of what I'll be discussing. But the fact remains, the Packers lost to Detroit. They didn't make the playoffs, as shitty as that is, as dispiriting as that is. You know, and the offseason is already underway in Titletown, right? Full speed ahead. The NFL never really stops, as we all know. And what the Packers do in these next, 3.5 months or so will go a long way in determining what type of team they'll be fielding next fall. And tonight, in part one of this two-part series, I'm going to be looking at the offense. Obviously, a lot to discuss there. Part two, which should, barring any unforeseen changes, be available later this week, we'll examine the defense and the special teams. Obviously, a lot to go through there as well. Now, in the past, when I've done these, I've usually done it as one big thing, right? I've just talked about the offense, defense, special teams, coaching, what I think will happen, draft stuff, free agency stuff. And it was okay. I mean, they turned out fine, I guess. But, you know, I thought about it before recording this, and that just seemed like if I did it after this past season in particular, it would end up being too long. I think just too much happened, you know, and too much is going to happen. It just seemed like it would be too long, you know, so I've decided to cut them into two, make it a little more digestible, hopefully, for you, the listener. I think it'll be easier for everyone this way, really. I really do. At least I hope, right? Well, we're about to find out. I'm here. I'm in my basement. It's Sunday night. I got a strawberry lemonade from Arby's. Let's rock. But first, before we get into the fun, I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. Haven't gotten any emails from anybody since that awful loss to the Lions 2 weeks ago. You know, you don't have to just write in after games. You can write in at any point. Let me know what you think of the show. You know, what do you think of the offseason? What are you hoping they do or don't do? You know, just saying, you can write in whenever you want. It's fine. I'd love to hear from you. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me like you those the most. 4 stars are good too. A comment, maybe? Hasn't been a comment in a long time. Come on, what are you waiting for? You can find us on Spotify by searching for Packers Talk and looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. And if you subscribe on Spotify, you can leave a rating. If you're listening on Spotify, you should be subscribing there. Come on. Right at the top, there's a little box with a star. Click on it. Again, 5 stars. I think those are the best. 4 stars, those are acceptable as well. We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there as well. And, if, you know, as always, if you listen on a platform I don't mention, let me know. I'd love to hear which one it is. That would be fantastic. And, you know, just subscribe. Whatever platform you're listening to. If Packers Talk is on there, just subscribe to the mofo. Right? Then we deliver our shows right to you. You know? Oop, burp, got to keep it real. You don't have to go, hey, where's that Lemps Talking Pack? I got to find that. Let me look for it. Oh, I wanted to listen to the last Cheesehead Radio. I missed that. What do I do here? Just subscribe. Then it's all right there. We lay it out for you. It's awesome. That would be what I recommend. And, of course, a special shout-out to our wonderful sponsor, Ticket King. For all your future Packers ticket needs, head to their website, theticketking.com. They will take care of you. They do other stuff, too, you know. What, you want Bucks tickets? Oh, boom, gotcha. You want to go to a concert or something? They got you covered. Go to the Ticket King. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. Okay, now that we done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about this Packers offense that we just saw last season. Oh, God, Lemps, do we have to? Yeah, we do. We can't stall any longer. Let's go. So, I guess I'll start by kind of just a quick overview on the offense and how they performed last season. It was just, you know, no other way to say it. Just a very disappointing offense for most of the season, I think. And the statistics really kind of back that up, you know. Total offense in terms of yards per game, what were they? 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 17. Lemps, why didn't you type this out? I probably should have. You're right. Were they 17th? Is that right? 3, 6, 9, 15. Yeah, 17th. In total offense, in terms of yards per game, 337.9. Passing, they were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, 15, 17th also in passing offense at a measly 213.6 yards per game. Rushing, 3, 6, 9, 12, 3, 6, 9, 12, 14, 15th at 124.3 yards per game. And in terms of points per game, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I really should have typed this out. I apologize. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14th in points per game at 21.8. So, yeah, you know, middle of the pack at best in pretty much every area. That's just not good enough for a team led by Aaron Rodgers. Just not good enough. And not just Aaron Rodgers, you know, but an offense that has someone like Aaron Jones and someone like A.J. Dillon. Just not good enough. Not in any way, you know. The group, in fairness, they finally kind of started to find their footing towards the end of the year, tied in with, you know, as Christian Watson really got going. But it was too little, much too late from that group, you know. Especially in the season finale against Detroit, they were terrible. There's no other way to say that, right? You know, there were other things. They ignored the run far too often. Talked about this way back in the summer, I think. Even before training camp, I talked about this. With an inexperienced, you know, receiver group, a new-look receiver group in year one, AD after Devontae, it was going to be important for the Packers to lean on Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. You know, run the offense through them. Really, that should have been the script the whole year, but especially as the passing game was finding its way. They just never really did that, did they? That just never, I mean, there were flashes of it here and there, but just never really ran the offense through those guys like I thought they needed to. I think a lot of people felt that way. Ignored the run far too often, you know. The offensive line play was way too spotty at times. Though, again, it did get better towards the end of the year. before laying a big freaking egg against Detroit. It did get better. Now, and they dealt with a lot of injuries and stuff, and, you know, Bakhtiari was in and out of the lineup, and Elgton Jenkins was, you know, still finding his way after his ACL tear last season, as, you know, he got back into the swing of things. But, you know, it was just too spotty, you know, overall. Rodgers, ugh. Way too much hero ball from Aaron Rodgers. We're going to get into a lot of that here in a minute. But the list goes on, you know what I mean? It just overall was a very disappointing group. And as we know, you know, as the offense goes, so go the Green Bay Packers. It's just, it's an offensive club. It's just been that way for 30-plus years now. You know, we can talk about the defensive struggles, and I'm obviously going to do that in part two. But, you know, the offense, I mean, this, and that, especially when you have an offensive-minded head coach like Matt LaFleur, you know, this is his baby. And for that all to not work and be so disappointing, it's just incredibly disappointing, yeah. It sucked. There's no other way to say that. And it's a long list, you know, and speaking of that list, we're going to go position by position here. That's going to be the meat of the show and talk about each group. So let's begin with the position Aaron Rodgers plays, and that is quarterback. Obviously, I mean, you start by talking about Aaron Rodgers. Played all 17 games, completed 60, just a shade under 65% of his passes, just a shade under 3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, 12 picks, yeesh. 6.8 yards per attempt. Just not a great year from Rodgers. I mean, statistically, what, the 12 picks? What did somebody say, the 12 picks? That's the most. There's still autoplay videos. In year 2023, there's still autoplay videos. Oh, my God. The 12 picks for Rodgers, the most he's thrown since the Super Bowl season in 2010. Completing just under, it was 64.6% of his passes. That's his lowest since 2019, which obviously was LaFleur's first year in Green Bay. 26 touchdowns, his lowest since, again, 2019. And stats, of course, you know, as I always say on the show, stats only tell you so much. But they're definitely eye-opening for Rodgers, you know. Talked about it in the last episode when one of the Kyles had wrote in. Which I didn't even know this until he wrote it in, that it was Kyle who used to have Twitter. Rodgers didn't have a 300-yard passing game all season. How does Aaron freaking Rodgers not have a 300-yard passing game in 17 cracks? Terrible. But again, stats only tell you so much, so let's go into what the stats mean. We saw flashes of the old Rodgers, the Rodgers we know, the four-time MVP Rodgers this year, you know? There were still moments where he could make the wow throw. Throws that only a handful of other guys on the planet can make. We saw that. But we also saw a lot of cracks in the facade with Rodgers, you know, missing wide open guys. And I don't mean missing as far as inaccurate. I mean not even seeing wide open guys. Just ignoring them. What? What is that? You know? But there was also missing guys in terms of inaccuracy. His accuracy was not great this year. No. His mobility, you know, I still think he's got the ability to make guys miss. And obviously when he would scramble, the few times he actually decided to do so, he can still run a little bit. But it did feel like a lot of times his guys were getting to him this year that didn't in years past, as far as pass rushers. I was at the Jets game in October. Ooh, the strawberry lemonade is so good. I was at the Jets game in October, and that really jumped out to me. It was like, wow, being there at Lambeau, I was like, he's really struggling to make rushers miss. What is this? Who is this guy? I kept saying to my wife, who is this guy playing quarterback for the Packers? You know? Now, with the, you know, the inaccuracies passing the ball, obviously people are going to point to the broken thumb that he suffered late in the London game against the Giants. Did that play a factor? I mean, yeah, you would think it did at some points. But Rodgers himself said down the stretch he was healthy, that the thumb was not an issue. And yet he still was not playing particularly well. Again, even on the stretch, those wow throws were still there from time to time. You know? But there was a lot of stuff that we saw from him that we just haven't seen before. I don't think you can blame the thumb for all of that. No, I don't. I think a lot of it is Rodgers just, you know, maybe kind of got old. You know, which as I said on the show throughout the season, that happens to quarterbacks. Brady rooked everybody into thinking you could just be great forever. But like I said countless times, go look at Peyton Manning, go look at Brett Favre, go look at Breeze. They were great one year, and the next year, gone. That's what happens. Now, it didn't happen to that degree with Rodgers, but you have to wonder, was this past season the beginning of that? You know, and I kind of think it was. What does the future hold for Aaron Rodgers? That, of course, is the, you know, $100 million question or whatever it is. What are the Packers going to do with Aaron Rodgers? So, this is obviously a question with a lot of layers. Again, this is partly why I decided to do this in two parts. Because I was just like, the Rodgers thing alone is going to cover so much time. I'm like, the show could end up being 2 fucking hours. That's too much. Even for me, that's a lot. So what does the future hold for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? I thought it would be good to start by looking at his contract. Specifically, the dead cap hits for what happens with Rodgers going forward. This is from Ken Ingles, -PackersCap. If you follow him on Twitter, at Ken Ingles, obviously does a ton of stuff with the Packers cap. He's very well versed in all that, in all those areas. This is a tweet from Ken Ingles last night. Dead cap hits if Aaron Rodgers is traded or retires. 2023, $40.31 million. Post June 1st, 2023, it's a $15.83 million hit this year and a $24.48 million cap hit in 2024. Next season, 2024 now, $68.21 million. Post June 1st, 2024, $22.74 million in 2024, $45.47 million in 2025, and the grand finale, 2025, $76.80 million. Post June 1st, 2025, $38.4 million in 2025, $38.4 million in 2026. Again, those are the dead cap hits if Aaron Rodgers is traded or retires. So when you look at it this way, and I tweeted this at Ken last night. He didn't respond. I don't know why. Come on, Ken, get back to me. I'm kidding. But I tweeted this at Ken last night. When you look at the contract in those terms, essentially, the Packers either have to move on from Rodgers now, or he has to play the entire contract. Remember, now the hits, I don't have that in front of me. I do know the hits are not bad that bad if he plays. Right? Those are just the dead cap hits if he retires or is traded. It's lower if he stays and plays in Green Bay. I don't have that in front of me. You can look that up. The point being, they basically either have to get rid of him now, either he has to retire now or be traded now, meaning this offseason at some point, or he's going to have to play the entire contract. Because these dead cap hits, looking at 2024 and 2025, they're just not feasible. There's no way the Packers can do this. There's no way they can risk this. Do you know what I'm saying? Can you imagine if he plays next year in Green Bay and then says, I'm retiring? $68.21 million dead cap hit. $68.21. And 76.8 the year after. Folks, it's not possible to do. That's not going to work. So the Packers now either have to roll the dice and hope he plays the whole fucking contract, or move on from him now. That's it. Otherwise, they risk slamming headfirst into an iceberg that, at least for a while, will really kind of sink the team. So that's, I think, kind of the first step. It's important to look at it that way. They have to... So now, what do you want to do? Do you want to risk it? I think it's time to move on from him. Said this after the loss to San Francisco in the playoffs last year. Said it throughout the show this year. Said it after the loss to Detroit. It is time for the Packers to move on from Aaron Rodgers. In terms of on-field stuff, 3 years in a row now, this guy has been in an elimination game at home with the season on the line. The NFC Championship game against Tampa, the playoff game, the divisional game against San Francisco last year, and the Sunday Nighter against Detroit 2 weeks ago. He was not good in any of those games. And go look at his fourth quarter stats in particular in those three games. He was terrible. He stunk. It's just not going to happen with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. This just feels like the logical point to move on. And I'll tell you what, I think Rodgers and the Packers both know that. Just kind of based on what, you know, both sides have said, I just kind of get this feeling, you know what I mean? Like Gutekunst, for example, right? Brian Gutekunst was asked, was his season-ending presser a while back? He was asked, oh, do you want Aaron Rodgers back next year? And he said, we want all our guys back next year. That's not really like, that's a different tone than they've struck in years past with regards to Rodgers, I think anyways. And Rodgers, I think, has struck a different tone as well, you know? He's mentioned more than ever before towards the end of the season, you know, on McAfee last week about, oh, Jordan Love. Maybe they want to move on to Jordan Love. He's mentioned Jordan Love in the last, I don't know, month plus than he has in Jordan's entire time in Green Bay. But he's mentioned him in this sense of, like, you know, dropping hints like maybe they do want to go to Jordan. I don't know. Burp again, got to keep it real, that's what I do here. he's mentioned it more, you know, and just listening to him on McAfee last week, I don't know, I just got the sense that maybe he's ready to go somewhere else. When you're talking about, this is how it came off to me anyways, when you're talking about, oh, we have to keep, basically saying, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Robert Tonyan, Bakhtiari, and Mo Lewis are the bridge between either we're rebuilding or we're reloading. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just got the feeling that... I don't know. I don't feel like... I just got the feeling... Okay, so here's what I mean. When I listened to him say that, I got the sense that he met with Gutekunst. Because remember, with Rodgers, everything is calculated. I got the sense that he met with Gutekunst and said he wanted those guys back, and that Gutekunst probably gave him a different answer. I don't think he feels the same way as they do about bringing those guys back. That's what I'm trying to say. And... you know, if that's what it's going to take to bring Aaron Rodgers back, then I think it's time to move on. Like, I do. Like, I just feel like, because I don't think those guys are the, I mean, I don't see it that way at all, that those guys are the bridge between rebuilding and reloading. In fact, I think most of those guys shouldn't be back, and we'll get to that as we go on here. But I just feel like his view of where this team needs to go, and where a lot of people and where I think the Packers view, I just think those, they don't line up. You know? But we get this weird PR dance that we're getting now, don't we? Where neither side, if you ever wondered if these guys care about you, clearly they do, because both sides very much want you to know if this thing goes shithouse and Rodgers is playing somewhere else or is retired, it wasn't their fault. Packers want you to know that, and Rodgers wants you to know that. When I think, you know, and I think they're doing that dance in particular this year because I think both sides know it's probably for the best for this thing to be over. But nobody wants to be the first, neither side wants to be the first to take that step forward and go, it's time for this to end. Ultimately, I do think Rodgers will be the one to take that step. This is my extremely long-winded way of saying, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be back next year. No, I know a lot of people are saying, well, he's not going to turn down the money, and, oh, he's just doing his usual off-season look-at-me thing. No, I actually think it is over. And I don't think he'll be back. You know, Adam Schefter reporting yesterday on ESPN, both sides realize it's a very real possibility that he'll be traded. It just feels like it's heading that way, doesn't it? You know, it just feels like we're trending in that direction. Which I think is best for everybody. You know, I think Rodgers needs a fresh start somewhere else, and he can go somewhere that's a little bit more ready-made to win a championship. And the Packers can flip the keys to Jordan Love, who looked better as the season went on. More on Love in a minute. And make it his time now. It just feels like it's best for everybody, doesn't it? And I think Rodgers, when we get to that point, I think there will be a lot of teams interested. Oh, yeah. I keep seeing people go, oh, well, Rodgers is only year to year, and oh, my God. And there's going to be a lot of teams interested. Don't you worry about that. There's going to be a lot of teams, you know, because they'll talk themselves into it. We're only a quarterback away. Oh, man, it's Aaron freaking Rodgers. He's a year removed from being a back-to-back MVP. Yeah, he struggled last year, but the thumb and no Devontae, and offensive line was kind of a musical chairs. Oh, there's going to be a lot of teams that will talk themselves into Aaron Rodgers. Don't you worry about that. You know, the Jets, the Colts might be interested. Oh, I think they're going to finally draft a guy. I think the Raiders, that probably ends up where Brady goes, but maybe Rodgers is in play there. You know, I could see Washington being interested. Shit, there's a lot of teams. I'm probably leaving teams out. The Jets right now, which is hilarious because the Favre stuff. But the Jets, to me, seem like the most... That's where this is trending. You know, their owner, Woody Johnson, said they're going to do whatever it takes to get a quarterback. They just interviewed Nathaniel Hackett last week for the offensive coordinator job. You see where this is all going? Like, that would be the team I would predict he ends up with. But, there's going to be a lot of teams interested. You know, I could go through a list right now. Do you want me to? Why not? Let's go through the list. These are just teams I could see having some interest in Aaron Rodgers. Washington? Could you entirely rule out Seattle? No? Don't worry about it. There's not going to be anybody in the North. Tampa? Maybe? Carolina? Maybe? New Orleans, maybe? We know he loves Chris Olave, right? They're talented young receiver. The Jets. I could see Vegas being interested. Could Baltimore be interested? Possibly. Could Tennessee? Tennessee is definitely a team I think is on the radar. Could Indianapolis? There's a lot of teams that are going to have interest in Aaron Rodgers. The Packers won't get what they would have got last year for him. No, that Godfather package is gone. But if they trade him before June 1st, which is what I'm hoping they do, I'd rather just take the $40 million hit now and go into the future with a clean cap on that. I don't really want to spread it out and do 15 and 25 or whatever it is. So let's say they trade him pre-June 1st. What could they get? You know, I think they could get a pretty good haul. I think they could get a first-round pick this year, maybe say like a one. Something like a 1 and a 3 this year, and maybe like a conditional 3 in 2024 that could become a 2 or a 1 with certain playing time and or statistical marks that Rodgers could meet, you know? Or maybe it's a conditional 3 that becomes a 2 if Rodgers is still on the active Jets roster, or whatever team it is. If it's a conditional, it's a 3 that becomes a 2 if Rodgers is still on that team's active roster the first day of the 2024 league year, right? Thus signifying that he's going to be playing more than 1 year. Something like that, yeah. And if they got that, a 1 and a 3 and a conditional 3 that could become a 2, that's a pretty good haul. You know, for a quarterback Rodgers' age who showed fairly significant decline last year. The Packers should jump at that, absolutely. You know what? I wasn't gonna do like a ton of Rodgers stuff. And then there it is, it ended up being, oh my God, what was that? Like 20 minutes of Rodgers stuff. But it's the most, I mean, look, it's the most important question for this organization. What the Packers do or don't do at quarterback, you know, determines the path they take forward. So it's the number one question to answer, you know. And I think it would be, I just think it'd be good for Rodgers to get to a new place with a new coaching staff. Maybe a staff that'll challenge him a little bit more and won't just let him do whatever he wants. You know, maybe he'll cut back on the hero, but I don't know. But I think it would be best for everybody. Yeah, and I'm going to predict it happens. I think Rodgers will be traded pre-June 1st, and we'll turn into the Jordan Love era. As for Jordan Love, you know, I thought he played. He had, you know, what did he, how many games did he even see last year? More autoplay videos. Unbelievable. He saw action in four different games, completed 14 of 21 passes for 195 yards, one touchdown. A lot of that came in the game against Philly. He was awesome in that game against Philly, you know, and that really has to give you hope if he ends up being the guy. He looked great in that game against Philly. Looked like he just ran the LaFleur offense. Not the version of the LaFleur offense that he deems acceptable, as we know Rodgers does, as I've said on the show a million times. Just ran the offense, got the ball out quickly, got it to his playmakers, looked confident, didn't look rattled, which has always been a strength of his, I think. He always seems like a pretty cool customer, which I like. But got the ball out quick, his footwork looked improved, showed some mobility. Like, I think, I feel good about that when they do end up turning the keys over to Love. Yeah, I feel fine about that. You know? For sure. I'm ready. I'm ready for the Jordan Love era, if you can't tell. I'm ready. Again, I just think a break would be the best for everybody. I really, truly believe that. Yes. Enough about the quarterbacks, though. How about we move on to the running backs? Good stuff from the backs this year when they did get the ball. When the Packers remembered to run the damn ball. Obviously, the headliner, Aaron Jones. Outstanding season from Jonesy. 1,121 yards rushing, two touchdowns, 5.3 yards per attempt. 5.3 yards per attempt. 59 catches, 395 yards, and five scores. So what is that? About 89 all-purpose yards a game. Pretty good. Good. Great year. And, you know, I thought it's funny. Usually as guys get older, they lose explosion. But I thought Jonesy looked more explosive this year than ever before. He's just a stud. He's a playmaker, you know? I love the kid. Now, his contract next season is big. He has a $20.02 million cap number. That obviously is not going to be feasible for the Packers to carry. But there are some things that they can do with that contract to open up some space, and I think they're going to. He's got an $8.1 million base salary and a $7.4 million roster bonus, which is due, $7 million of it is due on March 17th. Now, they can do some stuff with that. They can either take a huge chunk of his base salary and turn that into a signing bonus, spread that out over the last 2 years of his contract, which is next year and then 2024. Or they can take his roster bonus and turn that into a signing bonus and spread that out. And I predict that they'll do one of those things with either the salary or the roster bonus. They're going to keep Jones. I think it's important to keep Jones. You know, whether Rodgers does come back, which I don't think is going to happen, but if it does, he's a guy. So quick, like, we'll just talk quick. Playmakers is going to be a big thing you're going to hear me talk about here. Whether it's Rodgers, who's aging, or whether it's young Jordan Love, they're going to need to be surrounded by playmakers. They're going to need a lot of help. With where both guys are at in their respective careers, they're going to be guys who need help. Aaron Jones can be a major help for one of those two guys. So I know people saying, well, if they cut him, I think it's $10 million they save if they cut him. No. You restructure that. You hang on to Jones because he's going to be a valuable part of the offense for whoever is under center. You don't get rid of a guy like Aaron Jones. Not yet, anyways. Not with where this team is at. Jones' running mate in the backfield, A.J. Dillon, 770 yards rushing. What happened here? 770 yards rushing, 4.1 yards per attempt, seven touchdowns, caught 28 balls for 206 yards. So just about 57 all-purpose yards per game for Dylan. Dylan was got off to a slow start. He was not the A.J. Dylan I expected to see. Though that first half of the year, he was not the A.J. Dylan I expected to see. It was a little disappointing. Thought he ran a little timid. Felt like he wasn't really, you know, breaking out the physicality that's just such a trademark of his game. Just didn't feel it, you know. But once we got into that second half of the season, there was the A.J. Dylan we know and love, and we saw it in full effect, right? The A.J. Dylan, the ground and pound, who wears you down and just hammers you over and over again. The human monster truck. We saw that more in the second half of the season, which was great to see. And he and Jones really formed a lethal tandem, especially the last, like, 6 weeks of the year. I thought those two were fantastic. So great stuff from Dylan. He is actually going into the last year of his contract, with a $1.68 million cap number, roughly. So be interesting to see what happens there with the Packers if they try to re-sign him. Or more likely, my guess would be that they're gonna let him play it out and see what this year looks like before making a decision on him next spring. That would be my guess. Patrick Taylor is going to be a restricted free agent. He did not do a ton this year, nor did Tyler Goodson, who had an awesome training camp, and then was he on the practice squad? Either way, he didn't get any regular season action. So those two guys, I think, will be in the mix for the number three spot. I could also see the Packers drafting somebody here. Not early. Certainly not in that first, second, or third round. Once we get into day three of the draft, I think that becomes a real possibility. Get into that fourth round, fifth round. It could be a spot where they try to make a move, get somebody in who can be Jones' eventual replacement. Because while I said I really want them to restructure Jones, and I think they will, I do think next year will be his last year. Yeah. I don't know if they'll be able to kick the can any further into the road, down the road. So I do think next year will be Jones's last year. So maybe I do, you know, I could see them using a pick on day three of the draft somewhere to get a guy who can maybe be Jones's eventual replacement moving into 2024. Could definitely see that. Yeah. But overall, you know, I like this running back group. I think it'll largely stay the same. And I think they're going to be a big help for whoever's under center next year. So yeah, good stuff from the backs overall. We move on to the wide receivers. A lot happened with the wide receivers, didn't it, this year? Holy shit. Obviously, the headliner here, Christian Watson. Right? His career could not have got off to a worse start. First play of the season, drops the deep ball from Rodgers in Minnesota. I remember thinking at the time that was either going to be a sign of great things to come, as in like, oh, well, it's as bad as it's going to be, and it's all uphill from here. Or it's all downhill from here. And for Watson, and fortunately for Watson, and fortunately for us, seems to be the former of those two. He, starting with the Dallas game, no other way to put it, he became a star. He really did. He became a star in this offense. Finished with 41 catches for 611 yards, seven touchdowns. Three of them came in that coming out party against Dallas. What else did he have? Didn't he have some carries too? Two carries for 46 yards, obviously the long one against Chicago on the end around. Just the kid shows, I mean, he shows the total package. Height, weight, speed, explosion. You can line him up all over the place. The offense looked so much different with Watson in. Even when he wasn't getting the ball, that speed element, that explosive game-breaking element that he brings totally affected how defenses, you know, how they defended Green Bay. How other teams defended the Packers. There we go. You could see they were just piss scared of Watson's speed, as they should be. So he really, you know, going into this offseason, he's the number one guy. You know, and I said as much when they traded 2 second-round picks to move up to the top of round two and take him. You're only doing that to take a guy who you think can become a number one receiver. And while I had my doubts about that pick, he spent the last 6 weeks of the season, or whatever it was, making me eat crow. Best crow I've ever tasted in my goddamn life, I'll tell you what. So he was great. And I think he's going to be the guy going forward. And I just think the future is so bright for him. Yeah. Yeah, I've totally turned around on my feelings on that. And I think Romeo Doubs is going to be an excellent running mate for him. Doubs was good to start the year. Then he got hurt against Detroit. Came back, felt like he was never really the same guy still. Finished with 42 catches, 425 yards, 3 scores. Showed a real knack for getting open, which you got to love. I just think he shows a lot of... Now, I don't think he'll ever be... I don't even know if Doubs will be a 2. But I think Doubs could become a really good number 3 receiver. Yes, more on that in a minute. There's Alan Lazard, who essentially became the number 2 receiver once Watson emerged. Lazard finished with 60 grabs, 788 yards, 6 touchdowns, 13.1 yards per catch. Now, Rodgers made it clear, as I talked about a little while ago, he obviously wants Lazard back. You know, and in a perfect world, I would want Lazard back, too. He's an impending free agent. The reality of the situation is, I don't think Alan Lazard's going to come back. No. It's not a great free agent wide receiver class as of now. I think Lazard will be near the top of that group. And there's going to be teams that are looking to upgrade there. Right? Add all that up, and I just feel like somebody's going to make him an offer the Packers. Remember, they have extremely limited cap space, if any, at this point. They're going to have to make so many moves and restructures and all the contract gymnastics stuff just to get under the cap to sign draft picks and everything else. Tender, restricted guys, things like that. To find the money to pay a guy like Alan Lazard, I just don't think it's going to be possible. You know, look at a team like the Chicago Bears. Our buddies 2 hours north. They have $100 million in cap space. And a need for receiver help. Can't you just see the Bears looking at a guy like Lazard and going, he's tough, he run blocks, he can pick up the first down, he's got decent hands, can make tough catches. Let's pay him. And more importantly, we steal him from Green Bay. I just don't see any scenario where Alan Lazard is back. I'd rather have him than not, but there's a price on that, you know? I view Alan Lazard as being a guy who's probably, I don't know, $5 to $6 million a year player. He's going to get way more than that. I think Spotrac had his contract estimate at $11 million per. The Packers will never be able to pay that. What I'm saying is Alan Lazard is not going to be back. Right? Let's move down the list now. We come to Randall Cobb. Another member of the Friends of Rodgers Club, Randall Cobb. 32 years old now. 34 catches, 417 yards, 1 score. Look, I love Randall Cobb. We all love Randall Cobb, right? The guy's a Packer. Is he a Packer? Is he a Packer legend? That's probably fair to say, yeah? Either way, he had a hell of a career, great dude. We love Randall Cobb. It's time for the Packers to move on from Randall Cobb. Yes. You know, he showed he could get open at times, and he still has that connection with Rodgers, but I just don't see much value in bringing a guy like Randall Cobb back. Now, if Jordan Love is the guy, if Randall Cobb is willing to come back for something like $1.5 million or something, the vet minimum, maybe. I don't think Randall Cobb's going to be willing to do that. So, I don't see Cobb being back in Green Bay this year. I think when he and Rodgers walked off the field after that Detroit game, I think they both knew that they were walking off for the last time. Yeah, I really believe that, for sure. So Cobb, you know, he's not going to be back. Then you look at some of these other names. I mean, obviously the Sammy Watkins thing. Got the one good game out of him before that went shithouse. Who else am I missing anybody here? Watson, Lazard, Doubs. I got Cobb, Watkins. Now, Samari Toure is a guy I like. Samari Toure, limited action this year, 5 catches, 82 yards, 1 score. The really nice long touchdown against Buffalo. I still think there's something there with him. I really liked him in camp. Like Doubs, showed a real knack for getting open. I liked what I saw there. I don't know if he's anything more than like a number 5 or number 6 receiver, but I think he's worth hanging on to. You look at this receiver group, and what you see is there are the makings of something special, but they need more, right? They need a lot more. Which I talked about on the show down the stretch. during the regular season, the worst thing Gutekunst could do is say, well, we got Watson, we got Dobbs, that's our 1 and 2, we can focus on areas elsewhere. No, Brian. That would be a huge mistake. They need more. Look at a team like San Francisco, right, who we all hate. How is San Francisco making this work with Brock Purdy? Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the freaking draft last year. Shanahan and John Lynch essentially quarterback-proofed their offense by loading up on freaks at the skill positions. Debo. And, you know, start with the receivers. You got Debo and Ayuk. Right? McCaffrey in the backfield, who they traded for. Obviously, Kittle's a super freak. Weapons. When you have that kind of weaponry, you know, as long as the quarterback doesn't totally shit the bed, you're going to be okay. That's what San Francisco's been able to do. The Packers, I think they've laid down a blueprint of sorts that I would like to see the Packers follow. You got Watson. He's a hell of a start. Dobbs, I don't know if Dobbs is a freak, but I think Dobbs is pretty damn, has the potential to be pretty damn good. But they need more. Right? They need another explosive. Go get another explosive wide receiver. Someone like Quentin Johnston from TCU. I love Jackson Smith Najaba. I hope I'm saying his name right. From Ohio State. I don't know if he's a freak. I'm interested to see how he tests at the combine. But I think he's got some ability to be a kind of a dominant player. Yeah. When you watch him. A guy could really compliment Watson. But a guy like Johnston looks more like kind of that explosive element. But you know what I'm saying? They need those guys. They need more explosive, big-time players at wide receiver. Tight end, too, which we'll get to in a minute. But they need that. And Gutekunst can't just lay back on it. You know, he can't just rest on his laurels and go, I got Watson and Dobbs and Toure, and, you know, we'll go take a guy in the fifth round, and maybe we'll bring Cobb back. Or, you know, if Minnesota moves on from Adam Thielen, we'll go scoop him up, and that'll be the group. No. They need to use a high pick on a receiver somewhere in those first two rounds. Go get another guy. Absolutely. Need to. And I might even take another guy in the middle part of the draft. Yeah. A guy in round one or round two, and then take another guy in round three or round four. Absolutely. Make that group ridiculous. You know? Again, talked about this with Aaron Jones. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love, your quarterback is going to be at a point in his career where he needs a lot of help. Go get it for him. Go get them that help. Go get them those playmakers. Those big-time guys. You know? And I know everybody says, well, that's easier said than done. Right, it is, but that's Gutekunst's job, and it needs to be job number one for this organization. More than anything else, they need to get more playmakers on offense. Look at what Philadelphia does with A.J. Brown and Smith and Goddard, you know, and Sanders and Boston Scott. I mean, they're loaded. They're loaded. The Packers need to load up like that, like Philly and San Francisco, you know? Let's go. This ain't a scene. It's a goddamn arms race. Let's load up on them. Let's get them. Did I just mention Fall Out Boy? And I think if you do that, there's real potential for this wide receiver group to be kick-ass. Absolutely. I think they need to. That needs to be the focus. Let's move on to tight ends now. This is a group that's going to need some work. This is a group that's definitely, I think, going to look a lot different this year. The headliner in terms of production, Robert Tonyan, 53 catches, but a measly 470 yards, 8.9 yards per catch. Yeesh. First year coming back off of a torn ACL that he suffered midway through the 2021 season. I like Tonyan. Okay? We all like Tonyan. And yes, he did appear to be moving a little better as the season went on, especially in that last month. Maybe he was finally getting comfortable and really getting over the ACL tear. That's possible. Perhaps. But he also, for large chunks of the year, looked like he was running in cement. You know? He was running at a sub-Richard Rodgers level. That's the way it looked a lot of the year. You know? Not good. Not good. And I just don't think he can be a number one guy. I don't see that coming from Tonyan. You know? And he's an impending free agent. His contract is up. What do you do? You know? Do you pay him? I can't see any scenario where the Packers bring him back. Not for any real amount of money. You know, if it was a scenario where Tonyan wanted to come back for the vet, again, the vet minimum and be the number two or three tight end, yeah, I'd probably welcome that. But Tunyon's probably going to want to cash in. He's, what, 28? It's probably his last chance. It's, you know, I just don't see a scenario where you bring, you can't, again, talking about these teams, I talked about San Francisco and Philly. Now, obviously, Kittle's a fucking all-world freak, right? Obviously, Travis Kelce is in Kansas City. You're not going to get a guy like that in the draft, not right away anyway. But look at what these teams are doing with tight ends. Look at what Hurst has done in Cincinnati. Did you watch them today against Buffalo? He really brought an extra element to that offense. Look at what Bellinger did for the Giants this past season. Now, he stunk against the Eagles, but their whole team did. But he was a real weapon for them. Look at what Goddard's done for Philly. He was fantastic last night, I thought, against the Giants. Tight ends. Like, I'm not saying you need one, but you look at a lot of these teams playing or that were playing, they all kind of have a tight end who can really bring something to the table. Do you really, in your heart of hearts, think that that's going to be Robert Tonyan even next year? Even going into year two post-ACL? Do you really see that? I don't. I think it's time to move on from Robert Tonyan. And this is going to break a lot of hearts, and it breaks my heart, too. It's time to move on from Mercedes Lewis as well. Yeah. Yeah. Look, Big Dog is a great locker room guy. Can still bring it as far as blocking. You know, he's a real asset in the run game. I'm not denying any of that. Great dude. We all love him. But again, I just think the Packers need to move into the new era. They need to move into today's age as far as how they value that position. They need to go get a guy there. In fact, I think they need to get two guys there, really. Again, more explosion. You need an explosive playmaker at that spot. I'd love to see this team. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I'd love to see Goot do the old Teddy T double up. Talked about it with wide receiver, but if they did it at tight end, I would love that too. Take a tight end and, you know, first, second round, take another one in the third or fourth round. I'd love it. Would love it. And luckily for the Packers, I think this is a pretty good year for tight ends in the draft. Obviously, Mayer from Notre Dame is the headliner. Could see Green Bay take him at 15. You know, I don't know if he's a game-breaking athlete, but he's a really, really good tight end. Watch Notre Dame quite a bit. My wife's a Notre Dame fan. Watch quite a bit of Notre Dame. He's got potential to be a special player. I know they say don't take a tight end in round one, but if you were gonna, this might be the guy. Yeah. But not just Mayer, you know? Look at Dalton Kincaid from Utah is another guy I really like. I think the Packers could get him in round two. He's raw, but I think he's really got the athletic tools. Yeah, to be a potentially special player. Look at a guy like Washington, the monster tight end from Georgia. You know, he's intriguing. What is he, 6'7", 6'8"? Really intriguing guy. I think you could get him in round two. I like Sam Laporta from Iowa. I think he'd be there in round two, maybe round three. What I'm saying is they're going to have options. There's others, too. They're going to have options at that position to upgrade in the draft. And I think they need to. And I wouldn't even be mad if Goot took two. Yeah. Because I think it's time to move on from these guys, you know? Tyler Davis is let me check my list here. Is he restricted? Seen any good movies lately? Yeah, now he's a restricted guy, but he was really valuable to the special teams, which, as we know, were greatly improved this year. So I think Davis will be a guy they'll bring back. I don't know if they'll tender him, but I think Davis will come back. Yeah, and then we talk about Josiah DeGuara. How could I forget about Josiah DeGuara? 13 catches, 114 yards this year. DeGuara is never going to be a pure tight end. Because I've seen some people say, Well, if they move on from Big Dog and they move on from Tonyan, let's have DeGuara be the guy. Well, the thing with DeGuara is I don't think he's ever going to be a pure tight end. I think he's a move piece. They drafted him to be Kyle Juszczyk. Juszczyk, am I saying? I never know if I'm saying that name right. From San Francisco. And he's becoming that. I think he's going to have real value as like an H-back type guy. A move piece. You can line him up at fullback, tight end, here, there. You know what I mean? Kind of a jack-of-all-trades guy. But not, he'll never be a guy who'll put up big numbers as a tight end. No. Not that, but he'll still have value. So, I think Davis and DeGuara come back. And I think, my hope is anyways, that they go find two younger guys to come in and have them move the offense into, you know, 2023 with the tight end spot. But yeah, you know, I definitely think there's going to be a lot of change there. We move on to the last group on the offense. Remember when teams used to have fullbacks? That was fun, huh? It's always fun to do these and talk about fullbacks. Those are gone now. Let's talk about the offensive line. You know, it was a difficult year for the offensive line in a lot of ways. There were a lot of injuries. Bakhtiari was in and out of the lineup for the first part of the year, you know, with the knee stuff, trying to get him on the right practice schedule. Let's start there. Once they got David Bakhtiari on the right practice, let's talk about the positives. Once they got David Bakhtiari on the right practice schedule, he was awesome. Awesome. He was his dominant self. He looked like the Bakhtiari we know and love. Fantastic. I think I don't see a scenario where he's gone. No. I think he's a lock to be back at left tackle next year. Now, he's got another one. He's another one like Jones. Massive, massive cap number next year. Let me look at that quick. It is a $28.7 million cap hit. He's got a $6.7 million base salary and a $9.5 million roster bonus due on March 19th. Much like with Aaron Jones, I expect the Packers to convert either a large chunk of his base salary or a large chunk of that. The large chunk of the base salary or the entire roster bonus. One of those I think they'll convert into a signing bonus and stretch that out over the last 2 years of his contract, which are 2023 and 2024. Same thing with Jones. I think they'll do with Bach. It'll open up a good chunk of cap space and it'll really help things. I don't know if next year will be his last year in Green Bay like I think it will with Jones, but it'll at least keep Bach carrying the fold for one more year. Which, again, whether your quarterback is an aging Aaron Rodgers, stop me if you've heard this one, or a young Jordan Love, you're going to need that blindside protector, and that's Bakhtiari. Now, I think in the future it's going to end up being Zach Tom, but for now it's Bakhtiari, and I'm fine with that. Moving to left guard, Elgton Jenkins signed the big, what was it, four-year, was it $68 million, I think it was, contract extension right before Christmas. Imagine signing a contract like that right before Christmas. He got that gigantic signing bonus. What could anybody get you for Christmas? I don't think I ever talked about this on the show because I got sick. But what could anybody get you for Christmas that could top that? Like, oh, thanks for the socks. You know, I got a gigantic signing bonus from the Green Bay Packers, right? 3 days ago or whatever it was. There's nothing that tops that. I think it was 2 days before Christmas, right? The Friday before Christmas. So, yeah. But Jenkins signed the big extension, which I'll tell you, I would not have predicted at one point in the year. I think I said as much on the show. I know I did on Twitter at one point. He did not start the season well at all. Tough start to the year for Elgton Jenkins. You know, got to the point where I was like, man, his performances were so up and down. I was like, they're either going to let this guy go or he's going to have to sign a one-year prove-it deal to come back because I don't know if he's ever going to be the same guy after tearing his knee in Minneapolis. What was it? Late October, November of 2021? I thought maybe he came back too soon, and it was like, oh, did he push it, and he's just not going to be the same now? But he finally found his footing in a similar way to, like, you know, like Bakhtiari did, and was awesome. Awesome! The back part of the season was fantastic. Played great football. Now, again, he sucked against Detroit, but so did everybody else on the offensive line. But awesome football from Jenkins, yeah. And by the time he had signed the contract extension, I was really glad that they had taken care of that because I was like, shit, he's really found his footing again. You can't lose him. I think his value is highest at left guard. You know, I know a lot of people have talked about his ability to be moved around. But I just think he played well at left guard. They tried him at tackle. It didn't work. He's a left guard. He can play other spots in a pinch, which is nice to have that versatility. But he's a left guard, and I think he's going to be one of... He's going to quickly, again, he's going to become one of the best left guards in football again. He was trending that way as the season went on. I think in the years to come, he's going to really reaffirm his status there. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I was really glad that Jenkins came back. So the left side of the line looks pretty good so far. You know? We come to center. Josh Myers. Watching the Chiefs last night, I still... You know, I thought people on Twitter were telling me, well, Creed Humphrey had some injury stuff, and, oh, he's a lefty. I still don't understand why they took, you know, I said it after, and I'm not a Johnny completely, I said this on the show after they took him, what, in the second round of the 2021 draft? I don't know why they took Myers when Creed Humphrey was right there. I still don't understand that. I don't get that. I don't know if I'll ever get that. Myers has had, because Myers has had moments. Humphrey's been an all-pro. Myers, on the other hand, has had moments where he's looked really good and moments where he looks very average to below average. I think this is going to be a big year for him coming up. I think this is a make-or-break season for Josh Myers going into 2023. Because, look, they've got Zach Tom on the roster. Zach Tom can play center. Played center and can play center. You know, and at some point, if Myers doesn't become a more consistent, productive player at center, that might be where you move Zach Tom. I talked about maybe being left tackle, but he could end up being the center in the future, too. This is a shit or get off the pot year for Josh Myers. There's no question about that. But they move there. We move to right guard now, John Runyon. I thought Runyon played overall pretty well. Had some moments where he struggled, but I thought overall he was a pretty good right guard. Pretty good player. He's moving into the last year of his contract, making just over $1 million next season. Will Sean Ryan make a push there? It's an interesting question. Sean Ryan, you probably forgot about him. They took him in the third round last year. He had a terrible training camp by all accounts, was a healthy scratch, and then got suspended for PEDs and missed, what, the last six games of the regular season? Not a great start for Sean Ryan. What kind of PEDs was he taking? Anti-PEDs? I don't know what he was taking. But, you know, he was a third-round pick who looked like a good prospect out of UCLA. Could he push for that right guard spot or the right tackle spot? I could see it. I'm not willing to write Ryan off and say he's a bust. I know a lot of people are. I'm not going to do that yet. But, you know, that'll be an interesting spot to keep an eye on. Although right now I would say Runyon's probably the guy. Right tackle, to me, is the biggest question mark going forward for this team. Yosh Nijman is going to be a restricted free agent this year. I suspect they're going to put the second round tender on him, which I believe is just about $4 million. Let me look that up really quick. I don't know if that's been announced yet. 2023 projected, over the cap projected at $4.3 million. That seems about right. I don't think they'll do the right of first refusal because somebody will sign him. And the first round tender is probably going to be about $6 million. I don't see the Packers putting that on him either. But that second round tender, that sounds about right. Yeah, they'll put that tender on him. And that's good because you don't want to lose him for nothing. You want to hang on to the player. But where does Nijman fit? That's my question. I still don't think he's a right tackle. You know? He had some moments where he looked good at right tackle, but look at that last game against Detroit. He got benched. He was terrible. I don't think he's a right tackle. I think he's a left tackle. And I think he could be a damn good one. And maybe, you know what? Maybe that's the move. Maybe they put the tender on him, and he either plays right tackle or is the back of it left, and then it's last year Bakhtiari, and he slides in 2024 on a new deal. That could be possible, yeah. But I'm curious to see what happens at right tackle, because I think Zach Tom could be the guy. If you don't know, if you haven't picked up by now, I love Zach Tom. I think he could be the guy at a number of spots, either next year and going into the future, both next year and going into the future. If he has a good offseason and gets stronger, especially in the lower body, I could see Zach Tom being the right tackle for this team. Right. And right now, I actually think he probably will be. And Nyman will get tendered and maybe just be like a super backup. Which seems a little crazy, that salary, but whatever. I think that'll be the role, you know? So I think next season it's going to be Bach, Jenkins, Myers, Runyon, and Tom. And they've got good depth in that case, you know? If Ryan has a good camp and can get his feet underneath him, he could be a good backup. I think Royce Newman is a terrible starter, as we saw. My son Royce Newman. But I think he's a really solid backup. Absolutely. You know? Rasheed Walker, the seventh rounder from Penn State in last year's draft, really showed some things towards the end of training camp in the preseason. I think he could be solid depth. Caleb Jones, the massive undrafted rookie from Indiana. What is he, 8 feet tall? I'm kidding. But he's huge. And he really showed some things as camp went on. I think they're going to have good depth. You know? And if Nyman ends up being, you know what I mean? If your backup offensive linemen are Ryan Newman, Walker Jones, and Yash, that's damn good depth. You know? I keep seeing these mocks where people have the Packers taking an offensive lineman, and I'm like, why? Taking him high, I mean, why would you do that? I think this team is fine on the offensive line. It's going to be a matter of, you know, again, a guy like Tom, getting him in the weight room, getting him stronger, and just finding the right spots for all the pieces. But I think the pieces are in place. Absolutely. Yeah, I think this offensive line is going to be fine. I don't have any worries about that. So, yeah, there you go. I didn't plan on this being an hour and 5 minutes, but there you go. That just about wraps up this episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. Covered all the areas, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line. Gave you a look. Some contract stuff, some free agent stuff, some draft stuff. Hopefully you had fun. This was fun for me. I love the offseason. I love the season most of all, but I love the offseason. Right? I'm 41, like a lot of people in my generation. I'm a victim of having played way too much franchise owner mode in Madden. Which is probably a big part of why I love the offseason so much. But I do. I love it. I really do. You know? So I'm excited about this offseason and everything that we're going to talk about here on the show. No mailbag for this episode or the next one. But at some point soon, I do want to do an episode that's kind of entirely written by... It's kind of entirely or almost entirely your questions. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Kind of a show written by you, the valued Lemps Talk and Pack listener. Could be good times. As for when I'll be back, again, the plan is to have part two, where I'll talk about the defense and special teams ready. The plan is to have that ready for later this week. Maybe Wednesday or Thursday. That's what I'm aiming for. So, yeah. Keep your eyes and your ears open for that. And yes, I'll keep you posted. We're back, baby. Again, off season. Let's freaking go. Lemps Talk and Pack. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemps Talk and Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you. I love you. I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.